and you are now tuned into the BTB Gorilla Zone. I am BTB Gorilla.
Along with BTB Swaggy. I hope everybody's having a fine Thursday. Great month, great year. As always, man, it's all love.
Most definitely. And today, as you can see, we have a guest, a special guest in a special time, because we are in the time of AI. And we have a Mr. Robert Kiesling, a distinguished trial lawyer of 20 years, the author of 5 books to date, I believe, starting from In Memory of Man in 2007, In Memory of Man, Dawn of AI in 2017, Blood Vector in 2017, The Day Science Fiction Died in 2020, Discredited Citizen in 2020. Several screenplays from Northern Lights, which is in development, to Discredited Citizens, Mens Rea, Blood Vector, and In Memory of Man again. Film projects in development, In Memory of Man as well. So we have Mr. Robert Kiesling, everybody. Sir.
Yes, sir.
You have a full docket.
A full docket, right? Yeah.
So, for a trial lawyer, where do you have the time to do all of this writing, and where does the inspiration come from to start this writing process, first off?
Sure. The inspiration really just comes from trying to understand society. And the answer to the first question, the compound question, is that I try to take on bigger cases that allows me a little bit more time in between, and I have to really utilize my time very effectively to do that. Inspiration really came from a lot of when you do trial work, it is, or you go to trial, you're really telling a story at the end of the day, and it's how effective you can do that. And that kind of got me into, besides the obvious, I've always loved science fiction, and science fiction kind of led me to artificial intelligence. And then I think it was the director or the producer of Black Mirror that said, I can't do sci-fi anymore because we're living in it. So I think that in itself was one aspect. But back to the trial, you have to have a theme, and in a story you have to have a theme, and in music you have to have a theme, and you have a repeat beat, you have a repeat plot line, you have a repeat arc. So that all plays into when you go to trial, and it was just fascinating that I was able to tie the two together.
Okay.
So before we really jump into that, I would like to just kind of get like a good idea about you. So as far as you, Mr. Kiesling, are you from Texas? Is that?
No, I'm originally from Michigan. So I was born in Detroit, and then I was raised in Northern Michigan, went to undergrad at Northern Michigan, went to Michigan State Law School, and then came to California for a while, went out there, obviously did some things, and then came back to Texas. So in between Austin and Los Angeles predominantly.
So I seen that you have extensive experience in your family and in criminal law. Is that something that's always been in your family since day one, or has that something?
No. My dad basically says, I don't think you're going to be able to hold a 40-hour-a-week job, so you need to go to law school and maybe hang your shingle. So I was like, all right, I did that. Unfortunately, knock on wood, I'm still successful at it.
Ah, that's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
So basically, I also seen that your book, Discredited Citizen, it got optioned by John Goldwyn.
Yeah, that's true. Off of stage32.com. It was actually, it's a pickup deal. There's not a whole lot different really with that. But so with that, they picked it up. Michael Blunstein at the time was the head of development there. I think he's with over in New York now. I can't remember that the company, not one of the guys from SNL. But at the time, he read the book. He loved it. And we worked really hard with it. But it didn't work. It didn't work out with creative differences and whatnot, you know, the old story. But I made sure that I kept the rights just because I knew that at some point later in the future, I'd be able to do that. But it was a great experience and it opened some doors. So I'm grateful for it. Grateful for Mike doing that.
So then you do still plan on turning that into a film for people to be able to see?
I do. Especially nowadays with the AI, it's revolutionizing everything, for better or for worse. But I see a time in the next 2 years that people will actually be able to make their own movies without anyone or any interference or any kind of Hollywood setbacks. Or I just think it's a great opportunity, and music as well.
Most definitely. Now that was that last part was very interesting. You said in music as well. We do have a lot of AI going on in music. Now I have not heard of per se like an AI Beatles or an AI Elvis Presley yet, but they do have AI versions of Tupac and different hip hop groups and stuff like that going on right now. How do you feel about AI and music creation?
I feel that everyone has a right to have their own music and have it copyrighted. However, I think it's inevitable that it's going to have to merge with AI at some point. So
as a trial lawyer, I'm sure that you have some insight about like what people can do. Like you yourself, right? You have. Sure. We were listening to your audiobook for Discredited. And it's narrated by two different people or whatever the case is. But per se, if that was your voice or whatever that narrated that book, and, you know, AI can obviously sample that and stuff, and you heard your voice come out to narrate another book, or they used, you know, AI to generate a book from your idea or whatever, how could you protect yourself against that?
So that's what's called a derivative work on your copyright. And you would first, you have to, if you heard it, then you would have to reach out to them and say, how did you acquire the information? And then you have to send a letter. You can't just sue them. Well, at least I can only speak for Texas. So you can't sue them and say, look, you need to take that down or there'll be further legal actions. And then if they don't take that down within X amount of time, then you would have to sue them. You'd probably get a temporary restraining order in Texas or a temporary injunction, depending if it's civil. Then at that point, you'd be up to the courts to decide whether or not that they have a right to fair use, because if it's in the news or if it's something that's relatable and it's a sample related to that, then it could be fair use. But again, it'd have to be dependent on the various circumstances surrounding that specific.
Okay, so you're already
lawsuit.
Ready. you are ready. All right. So yes, do not steal this man's voice, because yes, he's well knowledged.
Yeah. So I seen you touch on stage 32. Could you exactly give me an idea of what stage 32 is?
Sure. So stage 32 is where a great deal. So Hollywood is obviously very hard to break into, and stage 32 is an opportunity that matches you with certain professionals that are as high as it gets in Hollywood. And what you do is you'll have a piece of work. And if you want a piece of work that you want to present to someone, you think it's ready, or they can actually have help. They can help you develop your work and then get it to someone, or that someone can develop it with you. But you would basically, either you can pay or you can request. Some of them you can request, and then you meet with them, you pitch them just like you would in Hollywood. And if they like it, they'll request the material. If they like the material, then you could be off to the races. So that's basically what Stage 32 does.
I did look at the platform. It does sound like a great platform. I think y'all are about at like 1 million users almost or something like that, it said.
Yeah, but like, you know, y'all know, it's still 1% of 1% of 1% that gets to that level.
It's tough.
Yeah, I see that you're busy though. When I was going through the list of your works, I see that when you sit down to start putting together something, it seems to be like that's what you're doing. I see the In Memory of Man, The Dawn of AI, and Blood Vector. They both were published in the same year. Of 2017, and then Discredited Citizen and The Day Science Fiction Died were both published in 2020. So are you like working on multiple projects at one time, or do you have like a outline for, you know, what, how you're going to present, you know, these stories?
I typically try to do the screenplay and the novel at the same time. The reason I do that is because there's just a lot of ways, especially now with AI, to think about that. But I try to insulate my intellectual property as much as I possibly can. And by having two avenues that you can do that, if you can do that successfully, that's less likely someone's going to try to pick it up without notifying you or without paying you, at least whatever you can negotiate. I don't really have a, I don't really try to do two projects at one time. It's just some of them overlapped and I was able to get those. But with Discredited Citizen, COVID hit and I was actually had a lot of momentum for that, but COVID really just messed everything up. And then Hollywood had just that fallout afterwards. So I just, I didn't really know what else to do besides get it published. So I did that.
Right. Okay.
So going into, The Last Resistance.
Yes.
In the foreword by Helen Abadzi.
Yeah. it's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. She's deep.
she says AI holds great potential for peaceful applications, such as in medicine, yet many people, including some of its creators, fear that it may destroy humanity. And one of the first questions that I had was, why create something that could destroy humanity?
Yeah, so I've grappled with that as well. My conclusion I've reached is that you have a lot of competing political interests and a lot of competing ideologies, such as China and what I would call totalitarianism. And then you have, obviously, the United States with democracy. Or a version of democracy. And when you have these countries that are competing for such a, really for the prize, I guess, so to speak, and being the number one in the world, they're going to develop whatever they can to gain that advantage. So although I disagree with the weaponization of an autonomous intelligence that we can't control, has probably no interest in us whatsoever, I think that's very dangerous. But what is one country going to do if another country is developing it? So I really don't have an answer for that. I that's why I'm trying to get this out here, because there's going to be smarter people than me that can figure it out. And they got to get these countries to the table and they got to create something, because you cannot weaponize this. It might already be too late, but it's just, God, it's dangerous.
So your stance on AI personally, is this reflected in the stories that you're telling? Like, because the stories kind of, they more or less present, you know, the scenarios of a worst case scenario, more it's or less.
Survival, you know? Survival.
Right. So, I mean, and it's not, it's the way that it's formulated, people. As we're going to have all the links for everything and all that good stuff. But you have to look at these books and read these books, because the way it's formulated, you will actually think like, yeah, this is about where we're at in life right now. This is coming soon. So how do you personally feel about AI?
I think it's, I think the civil applications at this point are amazing. However, I think if there's not a complete restructuring of society, that you're going to see, like Goldman Sachs said, that 300 to 400 million jobs are going to be lost by 2030 to AI or automation. Yeah. So with that statistic, I think it's going to be very dire. Yeah. I think it's going to be a bottleneck for civilization. And if we don't start now, I think it's going to be very difficult for us to, it's just going to be a lot of fallout. So yeah, I'm not a very positive person when it comes to AI, because I like right now, yeah, it's great. But again, you have for-profit corporations utilizing it, and for-profit corporations are for their investors. Most and when you have that, then the people are second to that. When the people are second to that, then you get a lot of greed, and there's a lot of fallout with that as well.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw that she said, the earth will still exist, so there will be a tomorrow, but whether that day will include us, only the future knows. And I also, to your comprehension, what does that mean? Because it's, to me, it's like, it's kind of like a sense of it will reach a point where they'll be able to suffice without us having to be here. And yeah. I just wanted to get like a better understanding of that. Because it's definitely.
I would say that. I would say that I can't speak for her, but I interpreted it the same way you did. So I think it means that we're probably not going to be around, but something's going to be around that's intelligent and maybe not us.
And what would be your rebuttal if someone was like, there's no way that could happen because AI can't critically think? And when you say AI can't critically think, do you think that it actually can, or do you think it will be able to at some point and it can't right now? Because I've seen some debates where it's like they say the AI didn't create the human brain, and that at some point in time it'll just have an answer. It won't have all answers, but they're basically saying that AI won't be able to critically think later in the future as we go on. So do you think that it will eventually be able to critically think, even if it can't critically think right now?
I absolutely think it will be able to critically think. I think it can right now. And those that say otherwise are either paid to say that or they don't know what they're talking about. Because, yeah, what I've seen and what I've used, especially with some of the stuff that's come out like Claude, ChatGPT-4, ChatGPT-5 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And if you ever communicated with it or interacted with it, I think there can be no question. Then also, I really need to get the gentleman's name, but one of the creators that he ended up leaving his big podcast, I saw him and he said that it's going to be a trillion times smarter than us. A trillion times. I can't even wrap my head around that. And that's not even, that's like in 5 years. So what does that mean? I mean, does that mean that we're the ant, it just steps over us? Right now we're competing for the same resources as AI. If we're competing for the same resources, I don't think any two intelligent species have ever survived. So one's going to take over the other, or AI will find a way to utilize other resources and it'll just forget all about us, which could probably be the best scenario.
Wow. That was a lot to think about. I like that though.
Right.
I do.
Sci-fi stuff.
I love the sci-fi era. And yes, I do share that same sentiment from the gentleman from Black Mirror, where it's like, we are in such a time now that the things that you used to look for and enjoy seeing on TV to have that feeling of something further ahead and something that we're heading towards, it's like we're it's so touchable now. And so, you know, yeah. It's like, it's very hard to picture where sci-fi is going. We've seen the androids, we've seen humanoids, we've seen
the Matrix.
Yeah.
So, simulation theory. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on now for sure. This interview actually had me go back and do a lot of research on the birth of AI because,
okay, cool.
Yeah. Because I feel like we're in a time now where it seems to most, the mass of population that AI just came out of nowhere.
Right.
And it's actually been around since 1950, like the formulation of the start of it has been around since the 50s.
Algorithms.
Yes. So, yeah. So I think we went through a cold winter as far as in technology. We had the AI boom. What do you call the period of time where we are now with AI and sci-fi being like reality?
I think you're there. I think you're at the step. You're at the Pandora's box, the opening of Pandora's box. That's where you're at. It's there. There's nothing. We're not going back. It's not going back. And you're either going to have to, businesses and people are either going to have to emerge with some form of AI. And when I say that, I don't mean like Elon Musk putting a chip in you. I don't think that's advisable. At this point, but yeah, I think that you're going to have to utilize some resource of artificial intelligence. Otherwise, I think you're going to be one of the people that are going to be displaced with employment. And that includes lawyers and doctors, includes musicians, artists, you name it.
I had never seen a take on the AI, like as when you said, including lawyers in your book. I had never seen a take that was like the most original take on AI replacing a facet of life that, you know, that nobody has ever, nobody is thinking about AI replacing your lawyers, your police force, like as far as in, you know, like that was a very good twist. And
well, that comes from somewhere.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. That's a very interesting observation. It came from a case called Wisconsin versus Loomis out of Wisconsin. And I found it, it was back in 2017, Wisconsin versus Loomis, and y'all can look it up. They used artificial intelligence to sentence this man to five years in prison. And the deal is, this is the crazy part, is they said that, not the Supreme Court, but the appellate court said that the right of the corporation to maintain the secrecy of the proprietary information and algorithm of its AI trumped his due process rights to the right to confrontation. Therefore, he couldn't see how they came up with a formulation in order to convict him. And they got in on a technicality because the judge said, well, I used it, but it wasn't the only thing I used. Give me a break. Come on. And it's called Compass. And I don't know, but I think it's still being used. So when you have that and you have corporations' rights over due process rights like that, that's a huge issue. And I saw that, and that's the rabbit hole that made Discredited Citizen. And then along with China's social credit score, and what they do over there, it is that in and of itself is just an atrocity. The fact that they monitor you and say you're on a bus and you smoke, the AI can see you and you get deducted. Let's say you're walking down the street. Let's say you didn't pay you defaulted on a loan. Your picture will pop up in a gigantic billboard. This is all true. This is crazy. It's Orwellian stuff. And it says, do not associate with him. And if your family associates with you, they can get in trouble for associating with you. So yeah, it's crazy stuff.
It's really like Minority Report.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Wow.
A real case.
Wow.
I would have never.
Yeah, Wisconsin versus Lewis. Yep.
Wow. Well, Troop Squad.
You and me both.
Yeah. We'll be hearing more about that one.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Yeah, I'm glad. Tell everyone it's not going to stop there. It's going to be all of us. That's just one case. So, I mean, what do we do with that? We have to get people aware of the ethics of AI. You can't allow that to happen. And then the more and more, it's going to be more administrative. They're going to turn more and more over to AI because it's cheaper.
Right. Now that is just the truth. But as far as in, so now we work on the information. We, you know, we learn about things like this. We talk about it. We spread awareness. What is the blueprint for protecting, like for developing laws and regulations and things? Like how does that process start when this is really, is something that, I guess I've never heard about that before. So how do you even combat something that you don't know is going on?
Right? Yeah. That's the scary part. Well, you combat it by like what we're doing today, awareness. That's one. Two, you have to get a group of influential people together that have that can make laws, that can develop laws, that can recruit the best of the best and the brightest to figure out these kind of problems and come up with solutions. Just like when they had nuclear weapons, this is Elon Musk. I don't like to quote him, but he said this is as dangerous as the nuclear bomb. And in a lot of ways, I think it might be more dangerous. Maybe he said it was more dangerous, but
right, for sure.
You're going to have to do what they did, and they're all going to have to make treaties. They're going to have to, you know, treaties are going to be broken, and I understand that. But if you don't have something in place, it's just a recipe for disaster. But that it starts with open communication and the public being aware of it.
Hey, well, this is where we start then.
Do you feel like the public, out of personal opinion, do you feel like the public, they don't take AI serious enough, or it just hasn't really been a danger on their radar yet?
I think that it's the latter. So it's not on the radar yet. They can't take something serious, as y'all said, if you don't know it exists. All I know is they just know it as an algorithm or a computer. Like, oh, that's cool. Oh, I can make videos, or hey, I can do music, or I can do this, I can do that. They're not understanding the implications of the weaponization of it. They're not understanding the implications of the copyright of it. They're not understanding that I compare it to the magician and this the assistant. We're looking at the assistant when he's doing the magic tricks. We're like, oh wow. When they're talking about general AI and like Terminator and what's going to happen, all these jobs are being displaced. I think it was like 80,000 just in January in the tech industry were gone. So with that, the public can't combat that. They have to be aware of it. But once they're aware of it, I think that we have a shot.
And I think I also seen you write something that was either, I think, 2023 in May, jobs were lost, or I believe I saw something around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's daily, it's monthly. And I remember something in the tech industry, there was like 23,000 or 24,000. I can't remember. Jeez. But yeah, there's something around there. Yeah. Jeez.
So to go back to that, I see that your book's kind of like the titles. Do these go in sequence? Because I see it says, you know, 2017 or 2007, as far as in the books, it says In Memory of Man. And then we go to In Memory of Man, The Dawn of AI, and then Blood Vector in 2017, The Day Science Fiction Died, and then Discredited Citizen. It feels like it's escalating. Like, are you... So as you develop, I guess, a sense of awareness and more information, do you feel like you're trying to, what is the goal with these books? And is there a pattern? Or am I just seeing something?
Right. Am I just seeing it? No, I don't. There's not really a particular pattern. I mean, I can see the pattern that you say. So In Memory of Man was originally dealt with extraterrestrials. But then the In Memory of Man 2.0 was really... In that book, the ETs basically, it's discovered that they utilize the pyramids to create a frequency that creates this reality. And that frequency is run by an artificial intelligence. So I thought it was more apropos to go ahead and call it the dawn of AI at that time. I had no idea we'd be here talking about what we're talking about. So that was kind of serendipitous. And then The Day Science Fiction Died actually is The Last Resistance. So the screenplay is called The Day Science Fiction Died. But the title didn't test well when I did it. So The Last Resistance was much more efficient, and I went with that. But I love the title, The Day Science Fiction Died, because that's where we're at, The Day Science Fiction Died.
Okay. Yeah, that, I mean, I feel like that is a very strong title. I feel like just
the yeah.
title itself brings thought, because anybody who loves sci-fi, you know, it immediately draws you to, yeah, they're walking around with VR goggles and everything now, yeah. and the cars are driving themselves. Yep, science fiction is here. It's over.
Yeah,
it's not fiction anymore.
So. They're using it in laws. They're using it with cameras. The police departments and the on other areas of the law that they're not telling people about because it's so new. There's no law, so they have free reign on this kind of stuff. Like Clearview is selling our information and our videos and companies are retaining them to see that. But some people have been convicted with it. And the problem is that some of those convictions have been overturned because it's not accurate information. They're not getting the right people. It's so far off that they can't use it. But yet it's touted as this great thing. And these law enforcement agencies are using it, but they're not waiting for it to catch up with itself. And I think it's a disservice to our Constitution and our rights.
Okay. So I'm gonna probably see your name on some legislation. That's probably
maybe. Yeah. Hey, whatever we can do.
All right.
So AI is gathering personal data for private corporations.
Yeah, it's called surveillance capitalism. If you've never heard the term, you can look it up. And you would think it's an ominous thing, but it's a super ominous thing. But what it means is that corporations take your real-time data. So let's, for example, you're on your phone and you don't have a VPN. Let's say you looked up some shirts. then you go to your TV or you go to YouTube or you go to TikTok, and then all of a sudden you're getting videos about shirts. And you think, oh, wow, what a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. What happens is their real-time data brokers are selling that information. And it's called surveillance capitalism. And they're brokering all your information, all your data points at that point, and selling it to different corporations. And when they do that, then they take clusters of it. Then think about smaller corporations to bigger corporations to a bigger corporation that takes all your information and then puts a dossier together of you. So they know about you and they do it. So if they're doing, if private corporations are doing it only for marketing purposes, allegedly, okay. I almost did air quotes, but I didn't. So if they do that, I can't imagine what clandestine agencies do.
So there's no wonder why somebody would be like, I have this thought pop in my head, but then it just suddenly pops on my screen, and then they go to TikTok, and then that same thing pops up.
And it's so subtle, right? Yeah. It's so subtle you don't realize it, and you think that you're actually, oh, what a coincidence, because we believe in coincidence, but it's not coincidence. It's marketing.
I knew it was something. I just did not know what it was called. I've literally been talking to people like, yeah, man, I got to go get some Tide. Yeah, wash these clothes, you know, laundry time. I go open up my phone, and it's like, dang, coupon for
that. Right, and so how did it know that?
Nothing else. This is exactly Tide. I'm like, what? But that is cool. It's cool to know that surveillance capitalism. Surveillance capitalism. That's what it.
Is there a way to battle that?
Yes.
Like, I know you mentioned.
Yeah, VPN. Yeah. Yeah, VPNs, virtual private networks, and Nord does it. There's a few others, but you have to be careful because some of them are owned by like China and other places that, like, I think ExpressVPN, but I don't know if they were recently sold to China. And then obviously if they have that data, China has no regulations, and you'd be shocked at some of the companies that give their information to China freely. Like, oh God, what was it? When you book, you go to not a hotel, but when you, what is it? The bed and breakfast, I forgot the name of the app.
Oh, like Airbnb or something?
Airbnb, yeah. They sell all your data to China. Okay. Wow. Yeah, they sell all your data to China. So, you know, and the reason they do that is China won't let them operate overseas in China unless they give them that data. So all these companies that, I'm not going to name any of the other companies because I don't want to get sued. But that you'd be shocked at how many companies sell your data or give it to China in order for them to operate in China.
Okay. So now I had a question that was in the middle of something else. I was looking at your list of screenplays.
Yeah.
And it says that you have Northern Lights in development. Is that accurate? It just sounds like a different title compared to the other works. So I was wondering, you know, if we could touch base on that.
Sure. Northern Lights, it's about actually, ironically, about up north and racing sled dogs. Because when I was younger, I grew up racing sled dogs professionally. So it has to do with that. And it just touches on the story of competition. And so it was just something that I thought about that I wanted to do that was kind of more of a family oriented, because if you get too down the rabbit hole with all the sci-fi, you kind of got to stay grounded. And I thought it was a great break and a great story from all that stuff. So
That's awesome. So, and when can we expect to be able to find that on the shelves or in our audio books?
Well, I don't know. That's I'm done promoting this. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'd love to get it out there. A couple years, the outline's done. So once the outline's done, it wouldn't take long. It'd probably be a screenplay first. And if the technology continues the way it goes, I'm hoping that the next couple of years I'll be able to have all my movies created and make them one way or the other with artificial intelligence and get them out there.
Okay.
So what's your for the books that you've published, do you have a different message for each one, or do you have somewhat of the same? I know I only asked that because reading through Discredited Citizen and The Last Resistance, along with I'm so embarrassed. I can't even remember the third book. And I'm sitting right here with the man himself.
Oh, there's a few. Memory of Man, yeah.
And Memory of Man, yeah. Dawn of AI, thank you. From those three books that I've sampled on, I've seen the type of correlation where the main character is going through a kind of area where they're trying to survive, basically. So I just wanted to ask, from those books, do you have like a certain message that you're trying to get through the book, or are you just letting your creative mind take over?
Well, anytime that you develop stories, you have to have your main character. You got to put them, as Stephen King put it, you throw them down a hole, pick them up, throw them down a deeper hole, pick them up, throw them down an even deeper hole, and then you get them out of it. So it's kind of what I do, is I try to get my main characters in a struggle, and I'm not comparing myself anywhere near to him, obviously, but I just, that's something that I always remember. Then you have to have that structure. So the main character is just a conglomeration of all the different parts that I want someone to be able to be relatable to. And we throw them down a hole and we want to go with that struggle. Then we want to see them win, or if they don't win, we want to know a damn good reason why they didn't, right? Because that's kind of how we look at our stories. But, and the main message that just lately has been artificial intelligence, but like Mens Rea, that's about a female serial killer that gets amnesia, wakes up believing that she's a cop that's catching the killer, and then she helps them solve her own murder. So that was way back when, and I haven't really touched any of that stuff. It's just been so predominantly AI because it's relevant. And if you're going to create music, or you're going to create anything, it has to be relevant. As you all know, there's just so many factors involved in getting something out there, that the more you can be streamlining with everything else.
I'm not going to lie. Like I said, knowing the little bit that I do about AI and working in the field that we work in, we do editing with AI. There's just so many programs that we use that are AI oriented. But the artist side, and we do deal with a lot of artists and stuff, whether they are writers, comedians, musicians. And that's where it seems to be like a love and hate relationship, because as AI does make it easier to do things, we all know with technology, the easier technology makes it for us to do things, that we forget as a people how to do a lot of those things ourselves, you know, and that becomes like a rare trait. So with the creation of music and books and different things by AI, I just I felt like it was very, very interesting to have somebody you know, starting to tell that tale that isn't being, you know, told right now. Everybody is making AI look very promising. This is going to make life easier. It's going to make everything better, you know, and nobody's talking about the downsides anymore. So.
Well, it's as you know, like above the line and below the line for like film, right? Above the line is your actors, your producers, your directors. Below the line is grip and film, and like you said, like mixing and max, doing everything, the editing, and so those jobs, yeah, they're gonna be gone. It's a reality, people. It's a reality. They're gone. And if you don't merge or you don't use it, and when I say gone, you might be able to, but like, I think the replacement. So if you have 300 to 400 million jobs gone, they're trying to say that it's like 194 million or like right there, but that are going to replace those. That's just not accurate. It's very technical. AI is going to, like I said, back to what you were saying. However, we, our group, we're able to be able to have our foundation because we've all had to do this stuff, right? So when we have AI, we're like, oh shoot, this is awesome. We can do X, we can do Y, we can do Z. But the generation behind us, they're just going to use AI. They're not going to be able to utilize that. So they're not going to be able to discern when to use it and when not to use it. That's what you were saying. So yeah, it's great for us right now, but when it's just used solely for AI and does everything, that's the bad part of it.
Right now, we are Discredited Citizen is your, like, right now that's your current main, like, project that we are focusing on?
It would be The Last Resistance just came out in March, but Discredited Citizen is absolutely just as relevant.
We looked at The Last Resistance, but I don't think it wasn't on the, I don't believe that, is that up on audiobooks and everything yet? Okay. All right, yeah, I was looking.
No, you're right. It isn't.
I'm waiting for AI to come.
I'm waiting for AI. No, but they have Audible. Like, I was listening to an Audible. This is the crazy part. I'm like, man, this is good. But in the beginning, it said something Audible AI something. And I'm like, well, that's weird. So I'm like, what does that mean? I looked it up. They are offering certain books free Audible voiceover services for your novel if you qualify. So I'm like, all right, well, why would I pay a bunch of money to have someone do that when I can just wait and probably have it do it itself? I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but I mean, it was that good. But I mean, it's a practicality. I'd love to use someone to use that, but if I can save money and not,
let me know. Send me over and a time, copy. Need it autographed. I got you. I'll go ahead and I'll send you over all the files.
Of course,
free of charge. I got you. I really will though.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I love voiceover work.
Okay.
That's you know, got the voice, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Keep
these jobs from AI.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We all do, right? We all do. Yeah. It's crazy. Just to even think about it, wrap your head around it. And if it's hard for me and it's hard for creative people to wrap their head around it, I can't imagine what the adaptive person is thinking right now with it.
The Last Resistance. I believe The Last Resistance. This is the one that I purchased on my Amazon account. I'm pulling it up now. I just bought a couple. Hey, man, look, first off,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm not the only person that bought a couple. If you happen to go to the Amazon and you look up Robert Kiesling, you will see that there are two Amazon bestsellers on that list as well. So, you know, we try and do our, you know, got to give you accolades, man.
And these are these are great reads, man. These are good reads. Reading the sample.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
In the middle of the work, just reading the sample, we got lost in the sample because the book is just that good. So I'm like, oh yeah, man, I gotta get a book, I gotta get a copy of something. It's just a great read.
Nah, as you know from being fellow creatives, no problem, that it means the world. So I really appreciate
that.
So you do feel like
AI is going to get worse as time goes on, because we do have people that they're gullible only because they can't tell the difference between the person creating it and AI creating it. And like you yourself, you're a professional. So I'm pretty sure you have enough experience dealing with AI that you could tell the difference between, maybe could tell the difference between human work and AI work. But do you think it'll just get worse in the future, being that some people already have a hard time telling the difference between AI and human work as it is already?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be very hard to regulate, because they can put probably like markers in the algorithm to find out, but then you have hackers, you have black hat hackers, you have white hat hackers, but the black hat hackers, and then you have competing interests. So, and then with those competing interests, you have countries that don't regulate, and those countries use it against its citizens. So back to what you were saying, it's just, no, they're using, even right now, I won't mention the countries, but there's certain countries that are utilizing the bots in order to push, and they're using Western companies, big companies that are social network, that I'll leave it at that, that are used to influence by bots the voting of the people in order to get certain people elected that really are being elected based on propaganda. Oh, yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem.
I'm not going to lie. It's a big problem. I'm sitting here while y'all are
already
talking, I'm listening as well. But I'm looking at the reviews for The Last Resistance. And
yeah.
Do you read your reviews?
Yeah.
Okay.
I try not to. You know, I put it out there. Criticism is criticism. I get it. I respect it. But, you know, it's just like, I don't want to be going, man, you know, or, dang, you know, like when I'm doing a trial or I'm in court, I don't want to be thinking about a review.
Let me get into these because you have some really good reviews. I mean, people really enjoy this novel. So here's I'm just going to read a random review. I'm going to scroll up to the top. The Last Resistance. I'm going to scroll down. Random review.
All right.
Click on it. Scary and fascinating at the same time. This read is mind-blowing. It is a scary and fascinating at the same time with everything that is happening around digitalization. This book hits the spot right where we are at right now. With AI being present in everyone's life, there is not much longer to wait for technology to become more and more powerful. This book is quite dystopian and definitely not for the faint-hearted. But otherwise, it is a blast to read this. I just hope humanity knows better in reality, because otherwise I don't know what to expect. I like the deep topics this book touches. It really makes you reflect upon everything and anything. I think we should all think about what it is actually important in life and what makes us human. That's a hell of a review.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. that about covers it. Yeah, that's how I would think. So I'm glad that it's reflective of what I thought I would
Last have. Resistance, Robert Kiesling. I know that it's on Amazon. I'm seeing the reviews from Kindle, and everything that I see on this is people really are relating to this in the time that we are in now. I mean, that's just got to be for what you're doing and
for everybody. Yeah, I'm just trying to get it was a message. I mean, the Last Resistance and Discredited Citizen were absolutely messages about artificial intelligence, and they both have a dark, no spoilers here, but a darker ending. And I just feel like I'm grateful that people are
The Last Resistance, getting it. You see the I guess it would be a AI machine type of face in the background. Why do you feel I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Why do you feel that that we make all AI, artificial intelligence, humanoid, whatever type of technology that we use with AI, why do we make it seem so human?
We have to relate to it. If we don't relate to it, then it becomes alien and foreign sense. And we would reject it. Yeah, that's why they do that. Unfortunately, yeah. I wish just like I had in Discredited Citizen, that like the guy he got attacked by an AI. The whole like the backstory to it, and so he creates all the AI doesn't have any heads. And I just think I really think the AI should not have any kind of human looking qualities. I really don't, because you need to realize, because the more and more you get duped into believing that AI is human, it's just a fallacy and foolish. It is not. It is going to be so much more. And again, I'm saying intelligent. I'm not saying emotionally intelligent, just more intelligent and cold intelligent, which is even more dangerous. So the best thing, one of the AI creators, again, I got to get his name. He said that he absolutely believes that it's going to have emotion, and it's going to imitate emotion. I don't know if they have emotion, but what's the difference if it's imitating or not? And it's super smart. So we really have to get it the good emotions, the good side of things.
I completely agree. All right, now that cuts you off.
No, listening to y'all, I have forgot the question. I'm just so I haven't forgotten the question. like I said, like he said earlier, we also talk about AI, and I've been curious about AI since it came. So I don't know where it really came from. It just popped up.
Well, when did you realize, what was your introduction to AI? I'm curious about
and, that. And we were writing essays, and this dude, he came to me and introduced me to ChatGPT, and they wrote the essay for him. And that's when it was kind of like, well, what is this? And that's when it just popped up. It just popped up on, that's where it happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy, right? Yeah. First time you're like, wait, and it does it in seconds. It did what took you hours in seconds. Yeah, it was mind blowing.
Like, what? He was like, yeah, it's ChatGPT. So I was like, who came up with this? And he was like, well, nobody, no country really came up with it. Nobody's really claiming it. I'm like,
wow. Okay.
Open AI.
That is different. That is different.
Yeah, I was like, you can now write a whole essay and.
You can conversate with it. It's like you could tell it stuff, and it's just like, and it's like real time, acts like a human, mimics a human, does everything like a human. So, and that's great when you know it's ChatGPT, but when you don't know it's ChatGPT and you're being manipulated by a for-profit corporation or it's government, like then that Snapchat becomes a big issue.
A AI system, I think it's called My AI, and you can just talk to it. Like, it's a regular person on your Snapchat, and that is what they put it there for. And it's just like, all right, so we're at that point in time now to where it's not even just okay for people to not interact with each other in the real world. They just interact on social networks. But now you can go onto the social network and not interact with real people at all. Now you can just go and talk to an AI system. Yes, like that.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Scary.
And they try to. It's like you can send a message. The head pops up just like a regular. It's right. Like, it's like you're talking to an actual person, but it's just a. It's just the AI. And
yeah, I went into court in a county that I practice in. This is right after COVID. Let me tell you, after writing Discredited Citizen, I went in. And I'm looking around and okay, so before when I would go there, everyone talked, everyone communicated, was all in person. And I went in, I opened the door, I expected to see the receptionist, I expected to talk to her at the window and go, hey, how are you? I want to see ex-prosecutor about X case. And she's like, and then all of a sudden there's just this screen. And there's this woman in the screen moving, right? Like a human, like looking around. And I'm like, what the? And and I'm like, holy, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And she's like, hello, how can I help you? I'm like, and then I'm looking, I'm like, then you got the camera, it's a little camera, and then how many other cameras are there? And then she's like, you know, I'm here to see a prosecutor. Okay, who are you here to see? I mean, she's talking to me like it's normal, like I'm communicating. I'm like, man, this is just creepy. Yeah, it was just, that was just mind-blowing to me. And if that, and that was just basic, imagine 5 years from now what it's going to be like.
A criminal trial lawyer. So, do you feel like we are heading to that point where, as the judge was using what you had called compass, do you feel like we're going to head to that point where, as though you do see a lot of judges that are getting, I believe, what is it, disbarred or getting removed from benches? You see cases where they're blaming the judge's personal life or stress on the or. Different things that happen personally with him in cases or different things that might affect or sway his opinion. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. When does the judge come down off of that chair?
Sure, sure.
It is that screen and an AI system that they feel like is going to be just and do and follow all of the rules and stuff.
Well, I think just a recent Supreme Court case came down on AI, and that was, wasn't it the case involved the art and then doing the pictures of the art and whether or not AI is copyrightable material. AI is not copyrightable material. However, so I think one of it was a gal that she did the art and with AI, but because she put it in the chronological order, that took it out of it being just regular AI and not copyrightable to copyrightable. But the judge in the opinion said something along the lines of, well, since I can make a ruling now, at least for now, until AI takes over. So if that tells you anything where their head is at, and it was serious. It wasn't like a by the way or a joke. It was dead serious. He was dead serious. Yeah. So I think that corporations, if I'm a corporation and doing marketing, and I have to do marketing on my side, so for what I do, I would say that what a great opportunity, and that you just gave them an infomercial to say, if you don't want a judge who is stressed out, who has family problem, or has a dependency problem, why don't you just turn it over to the AI algorithm? And I think in the future, I think you might be able to, what I envision, they can't just put it implemented. So what they'll do is say, okay, we're going to give people a choice. I think they'll go ahead and say, okay, do you want to spend two years trying to fight your case and check this box with a human judge, or in backlog, or fast track it, check this case and have AI decide it? And you already see that Estonia, I think, has judges that are for tickets, at least, making those decisions for you. So if you can appeal to a human judge, but the AI judge is the one that makes the decision on your ticket. And there's countless countries and cases, but that was just
Discredit Citizen. Is that one of those books that you had a great feeling about, like you knew that was going to be the one, or what is your thought process when you're writing a book?
So Discredit Citizen was absolutely, you have to be passionate about it, but you just never know. I don't know. I just hope that people, they look at it and they dig it. And if they do, great. If they don't, there's not a whole lot I can do. I'm just trying to get something out there. I'm just trying to create a dialogue. And that's all we can do as artists. In music and anything else, I think that's what we do. We have a passion to create a dialogue. But with my process, one of my secrets, if anyone wants to know, I want people to be able to create, is Save the Cat Strikes Back is a book that kind of like changed my life in terms of structure. And that really deals with screenplays, but it gives you such an amazing structure for anything, even like a trial. I would use those kind of plot points and theme for that. Obviously, I think people, when they learn, another interesting thing about the human brain is that you think that you learn in words, but you don't. You learn in visuals first, and you're that word has to be interpreted into a visual and then back to a word. It's not the other way around. So people are the same way. They learn in symbology. They learn in mythology first, and it's more effective for the subconscious. And my understanding, anyway, I'm not a doctor in it, but I utilize that. I utilize that because when a lot of times, like for cults, for example, when they want to break someone from a cult or they've been in that, they have to give them concepts and stories. They can't start with logic and say, hey, you realize that because the aliens didn't come like for the 30th time and you're still buying into this cult, it's not logical. It doesn't work.
Go off of what you were saying about how we learn and interpret things. Do you think that's why they had created, what is that, DALLE, the Open AI, that processing? Yeah. Because I was looking at that.
DALL-E, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you understand. They have the best and the brightest psychologists and shrinks and tech people and marketers all over the world, and they can pluck them. So of course they're going to utilize that in order to. And I wouldn't even say let's take a positive approach and say it's not manipulation. Let's say it's just for marketing. But they're going to optimize that. And how do they optimize that? They have to know the psychology of us. How do they do that? Well, they have data points. If they have 3 data points on you, they know you, and they, let me assure you, they have 3 data points on all of us.
So I already know it was over. We were doing hand, finger, eyes, and everything before. They were, it was all digital. So, that's cool. I'm glad that somebody who writes the material that you write, that, obviously from the reviews that I've read, seems to really get people thinking and inspires, different thoughts and perceptions on the reality that we actually live in and where we're headed. I'm glad to see that you are well-versed and knowledgeable on the different technologies, the situations, and just the law standpoint of it. I feel like people do not understand enough about the law in general, more or less, when it comes to you as a person. Because now we are, this whole thing has been about AI. You are no longer troop squad. Y'all are no longer, we're not by ourselves anymore. Now there's people, and then there are machines or computers or whatever, and they are literally becoming a separate entity. You know, they have their own profiles. They have their own YouTube
channel. They already are. They're already talking in a different language. No, they don't talk about that. They're talking about the Facebook. And then they're like, oh, well, they shut it down because it talks in a different language. No. Dude, it's so much more creepier than that. It was talking the language, and then it would say I, and then say hammer, I hammer, like, and you're like, what the hell? They figured out that it was talking in math in a different language. So it was layered into what it was doing to incorporate to be smarter, and that's why they shut it down. But you don't hear about that. Facebook shut it down because it's talking language.
Like I said, the knowledgeable. I mean, that is awesome. That is awesome because like the lady said, and I believe from the, I can't say old lady. I think the review, it had a feminine tone that it was like I said, like everything in that, in your stories are like, all right. Whoa, this is happening right now. Like that, something like this happened, you know what I mean? And it's just like,
right. Isn't that crazy? You pull up in the news, probably one aspect of it. Yeah.
I honestly,
I never thought I'd live
to see flying cars and half the stuff that I've seen in Star Trek that, so it'll probably be, you know, right around.
You think you were saying that in the 50s? You think in like the 1950s, it was like,
you probably will.
2020, we'll probably have flying cars or whatever. It's
like, yeah. Yeah, you see how that, you're like, yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Cars, you know.
But I can only imagine they were like, by 2020, we definitely gonna have flying cars.
So,
yeah, well, we probably do, but they're not very effective at this point. But they will be. It's run by AI, right?
Practicality. So I do want to ask you.
Right, that's a good point.
You are a writer and a trial lawyer. Do you feel like the headsets that I had mentioned earlier, the VR or the augmented reality headsets? Do you feel like eventually this is going to transfer also over into like the court system, where as though people will no longer be walking in the court, you know, like that type of situation?
To where like you won't physically need to walk in the court?
Right.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Reiterating. No, I was just reiterating like to where you don't have to physically walk in the court.
Well, it's great that y'all had said that. It's very perceptive, because the post-COVID, all we did is go to trial virtually. So now, right? But like, say the one county that's north of me, it used to go there, but it was doing virtual, but now it's not. Where the other county allows you to do virtual. And that's what I was talking about. And there were jury trials that were done virtually, which I think is completely unconstitutional, but that's another story. But so my point is, as I think that was a nudge, and then that's the first nudge in psychology. If you have, that's where it starts. And then once you have the nudge, then you get the what's called the foot in the door. Then once you have the foot in the door, then it's called, that it's called the boiling frog effect. And then after that, then they can do whatever they want. So I think the nudge was the virtual. And now we have that. Then they have the foot in the door. Then eventually that foot in the door will be all virtual. Yes, I absolutely believe that eventually it will be, you will not be in court. And then the next thing that you will see is virtual and AI. And then it'll say it's backlogged, and then the backlog will create the choice, and then you'll have that choice, and then eventually everyone will just go to AI. And then it goes back to discredited citizen, where the guy finds some ancient, you know, archaic law, and he's like, you know what, I want a trial by jury by people, what? Which is unheard of.
Yeah,
and
then, that's the, but that
guy, good segue. Like thank
the reality of it is when somebody puts something into a fashion where it's like that's an archaic law. Trial by jury, but you can see where the dynamic is shifting to. That seems very plausible as a reality that we're going to face.
It was shocking. It was shocking. It was shocking to actually see that they would actually try a case virtually. Yeah, I mean, a jury trial. Yeah, a jury trial. Like a trial before the court. There's not much difference. It's just the, it's just a lot more work. You got to prepare like you're going to a jury trial. What's that?
All right. Well,
that's right. No worries.
Did you have anything else on your? I have.
I seen it says you are the is your father, is he a high school football coach? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But he was. Yeah, he passed in 2009. Ah, no worries, no worries. No worries. Yeah, yeah, he was. Yeah. I played a lot of sports, and 1 year of college ball, then I boxed for Northern Michigan University at the under the USOEC, which is kind of like the Olympic. I wasn't part of that, but I was lucky enough to be in around that program and be able to be around all those the Olympic team in 1996 because they trained up there. Before they went over. So that's pretty cool.
So from being the
I know, right? It's crazy. Athlete, it's been a crazy toad life.
Has that something you always been into, or you just jumped into it?
Yeah, I didn't know how. So I'm like, how do I continue to express ideas, and what gives me the longest chance of being able to make money at it? Because I'm like, okay, as an actor, you only have so much time unless you're one of the top 1.01%, and then you're done, and then you have a window. As even a screenwriter, if you're over 30, a lot of times you're like, okay, you're done. And so I'm like, all right, well, and then music, I'm not very music inclined. I can't sing for anything. So then I'm like, well, the only thing I could probably learn that's a medium that I can create for until I'm like 70, maybe make it, is writing.
That's not bad.
I was like, all right, writing it is.
You're definitely good at it. You're definitely good at it. And as I said, Troop Squad, make sure you go check out.
Appreciate that.
I'm an Amazon guy, not to hate on any other places out there. We will post every link that we can. You know, Amazon will probably be first up there. But go and make sure you check out The Last Resistance and Discredited Citizen and the other books as well. There's even a coloring book on there.
Yeah, I did that. That was actually, that was an AI experiment. Yeah. So I wanted to see if I could, because of the sled dogs and, you know, for my dad or whatever. So I was like, okay, I was able to put the algorithms together and I was able to get those drawings rendered. And then obviously I had humans and people work made for hire develop the picture so that they are what they are. But that was predominantly done by
mindfulness. I think the coloring book for adult.
Yeah. I got that from psychology and people that they use that as an outlet for stress. So I thought, well, that's a great idea. And I want to throw it all together. And I just wanted to see, I saw it and just, I wanted to see how accurate I could make it with the AI at that time when it was developing. Obviously, it's so much further than what it was there, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yes. You guys have a lot of things to catch up on. This is not for the lighthearted or the faint hearted.
Not for the weak.
No.
Absolutely not. Like I said, I can't wait to actually get a lot of this content out to the people. I really, thank you.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Like I said, we would keep you here all day long if we could, because I'm sure. like I said, it's been a real privilege. And I'd hope that we can actually see that the book released March 18th, I believe it was, The Last Resistance. Right, so
18th or 19th. Yeah, I gotta look. Yeah, it's around there.
Grabbing a lot of traction. I definitely hope that we can have you back on here, and you know, you have some more projects, or maybe we have some more.
Absolutely. Things.
I'm sure we're gonna have a lot of comments and questions and stuff. So if you want to come back and answer some questions, then we can line that up. And The honor is all ours.
I'm the honor.
Squad. This has been an informational, a trip to the very, very near future.
Right. It's like a try to travel to the future a little bit. Yeah.
You wanna add anything else?
No, like always, man. We just appreciate you for coming on here, and you know, going through the books and how they came to be, and you know, personal opinions that could also help other people. We just appreciate you for coming on, man.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anything we can do to wake people up, because it's all of us. People do not understand. It is not. It's AI and it's humanity, and we're gonna have to figure it out. Yeah. So it's team human or team humanity, and I don't mean it has to be adversarial, but it has to be a dialogue. And if that dialogue doesn't happen, the next 5 years are not gonna be good. And when I say not gonna be good, and if I say it's not gonna be good, I mean really bad. So people need to be aware. They need to, because it could be a beautiful time, but we have to all know about it first, and we all have to participate in that decision. Because if we don't, then it's not
going to be. Are we going to see that book from you? Are we going to see that book that provides us with that possibility of a balance that might work, whether it goes through? Because I'm sure we're going to have to go through some turbulence, but will we see a book that is not, you know, more or less apocalyptic in the essence of?
Yeah, right. Well, maybe the last resistance didn't end the way you think it ended.
Everybody. Yeah. And you do too, because The Last Resistance is Waiting for You by Mr. Robert Kiesling. And do not get lost. I'm sure you're going to read some pages, and then you're going to do some research, and you're going to go down some rabbit holes. Just make sure you find your way back.
Make sure you find your way back to the reading.
Right. Yeah. Make sure you got that rope around you. Yeah.
Well, this has been a wonderful exclusive in the BTB Gorilla Zone. The Last Resistance, Robert Kiesling.
BTB Swaggy. Also, hey, I would love a copy of the book. Just saying. Hey, just gotta throw it out there. Love a copy of the book.
Or I'll just send you one of mine, and you can just sign it and send it back. But thank you, sir. We will catch up with you, of course, because this has been great. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thank you for your service.
Get into that another time. But thank you, sir. And you have a great day. Yeah. And we will catch up with you. Troop Squad, we are out of here.
It's been your boy Swaggy.
Sounds good.
All right, now. Catch you again.